hybrid is a creature thought to be crossbred from two warrior races. This creature will one day stand in the ruins of Gallifrey and destroy a billion hearts to heal its own.
I heard the Doctor had come home. One so loves fireworks.
Doctor, you will accompany us to the capital.
The hybrid. I think it's time to tell the truth.
On my command!
You have gone too far. You have broken every code you ever lived by.
Isn't this going to be fun?
I've barely started.
We are facing great danger.
Med team to sector 52, extraction chamber 7, regeneration in progress.
This is right.
Spoilers.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Kyle Jones, and I want to start by welcoming back Clarence Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. Glad to be back with you guys, as you have said up top. It's been a few weeks. You know, nothing's happened in a few weeks in the world sphere that we should be aware of. You know, nobody getting shot at, nobody dropping out. Nothing has happened in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's business as usual.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, hell bent, heaven sent. Here we go again. And Windgrace and Tasha from After the Snap Movies and TV. Hello, hello, hello. As always, glad to have you here. But I want to ask Lee Shackelford another question. Good sir, if we have someone listening to this podcast for the very first time, there's something you like saying. What is it?
I like saying that you got a lot of things you could be doing, and you've chosen to spend this time with us, and we are deeply grateful. You're the reason why we do this, so welcome aboard.
Indeed, indeed. And Clarence, if we have someone listening for the very first time, or who may not have found us on other platforms, what could they do?
Well, first, let me say, if you wish to support the show, you can do so, by leaving a review, telling a friend. We really appreciate it. If you have anything, a review idea or anything else you want us to know, you can send that in to discussingwho@gmail.com, or hit us up at Discussing Who on any and all social medias. It's been a while, guys. It's been a while.
Yeah. We're all out of practice.
Indeed. But I want to kind of channel what you were saying, Clarence. There's somewhere else that you like discussing things, and I just want to play up what you were, I think, about to say. So where else, if they were a fan of sci-fi, could they find you particularly?
Yeah, you can find me over at Discussing Trek on YouTube, where we're trying to start to dive into more sci-fi related stuff. But, you know, if you're into Star Trek, check us out. Other sci-fi will be there as well. You know, come here for your who.
So, come yeah, here for your exactly. Who. I like that. Well, you know, when
who are
we
you here
get,
for?
Who are we here
what?
For?
Okay.
Who
what?
Knows? But you know what? Before we begin recording, and we've started doing this on the live streams, but before we start recording each time, I have a saying that here we go again. And quite literally, here we go again, because I've actually been waiting for us to get to this. Here we go again, literally, in our reviews. I know we have done Day of the Doctor more than once. We have reviewed it more than once. This is not the first time that we've gone back and reviewed something again. However, this is a monumental, in my opinion, because this marks the very first time we're reviewing something that we reviewed on our first time together in a review.
What? Interesting.
Yes, episode 4, our first episode of Discussing Who, we actually talked about our excitement of Chris Chibnall coming in as the new showrunner. That was episode 1. Clarence, you and I did episode 2 and 3 together. We came back together for episode 4 and did a dual review, which I thought it was just Heaven Sent until I pulled this image, but it was Hell Bent and Heaven Sent. And that just out of curiosity, don't look it up. When do you think this episode went out? What year?
I was Googling as you was asking that.
All right, well then tell me what it is.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, I didn't get to the conclusion yet. I said 2016, maybe.
We have a 2016. Lee Shackelford, what say ye?
I'm going to say 2017.
Clarence Brown, you, my friend, are the winner.
It's been longer than
the 4th of April, 2016.
The fourth day of the fourth month?
Yes, indeed, for our fourth episode.
There's too many fours, man. There's some paradox going on here.
Indeed.
You know, today is August the 20th. Speaking of paradoxes.
2024. That's a coincidence. Fours,
but yeah, August 20th. But we sometimes talk about comics in the Discussing Network, too. And I think this is remarkable. Do you know whose birthday it is today?
Who?
Speaking of superhero franchise movies, today is the birthday of Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds and Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot.
Wow. What a day.
And that's
what
four of them.
What in the world is going on in the world? Yeah. All the four of them. How about that?
Well, since you're talking about four and you're, you know, I'm thinking if anybody is hell-bent on something, you know, that outlook on their life, they might be a little bit doomed. And I know we talked about this quickly on Discussing Trek last night, Clarence. But Lee, I know you're a big fan. Robert Downey Jr., Dr. Doom, thoughts?
I love it. I just love it. The having an actor of his caliber suggests that they're going to take the character seriously for the first time. And I couldn't be happier about that.
So is this a variation of Tony Stark or is this Victor Von Doom?
I don't care.
Okay.
Well, you telling me you didn't like the guy from Nip Tuck? He wasn't good enough for you?
Julian McMahon.
No, his armor doesn't grow out of his skin. There's just a lot of, I want the origin story as per Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. I want that. Thank you very much. That's all. Look, is Chris Evans Captain America or the Human Torch?
Indeed.
I don't care.
So. Clarence Brown, does that sound familiar? Because I said exactly the same thing. Well, all I can say is, and Lee, I think you'll get this being a Doctor Who fan. I mean, excuse me, a Doctor Doom fan.
Doom fan, yeah.
Who better than Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
Who better than Doom? Yeah. That's all I can say.
His he can make a specialty of playing heavily armored colossal egos. That's fine. Yeah.
So really, really quick, I do have two things in the news before we move on to our review. I want to touch really, really quick on our thoughts on Empire of Death and their finale and how we were a little bit disappointed. And I'm kind of bringing this in to say I'm right in my thought of we're looking at the first era of RTD, seeing the complete whole and understanding and accepting with years. I found a YouTube reactor who had come to Doctor Who watching classic reviews of our friend Jessica from Seska Says. So she went into the 2005 series fresh, not knowing what's to come other than Doctor Regenerates. And she knew that Christopher Eccleston was only there one series. She gets to the end of the review and kind of paraphrasing, when she gets the Bad Wolf reveal, she says, and again, paraphrasing, I expected so much more. This was a cop-out after all the buildup. And it just sounded so much similar to the fan reaction to Empire of Death. Was it's a cop-out after all the buildup. And she was almost saying the exact same thing with the reveal of who the Bad Wolf or what Bad Wolf meant. And I just thought that the parallel there was interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah.
What do you think?
Was the buildup for her merely the content of the episodes, or was it having heard other people say that Bad Wolf is so awesome? And, you know, this
no,
is
no,
so
no,
awesome.
No, because she knew nothing. So okay, she's going at it fresh, looking at it from, I can't believe that, you know, this was a cop out that it was Rose. I can't believe, because I was watching and the tears were real. You know, this wasn't someone fake reacting to it. If she did, she did an awesome job fake reacting. But, you know, that I just found that really interesting. Whereas we look at Bad Wolf as accepted, that's part of it. We know that it comes back later in the series and year, you know, a couple of series down the road, and we're happy with it, or at least I'm happy with it. So I'm wondering if a couple of years from now that we're going to be looking at this reveal of Ruby's mom and going, oh, cool.
Do you suppose that any time that you tease something for multiple episodes and then pay it off, that a lot of people are going to say, that's it? I mean, kind of no matter what it is, just the fact that you built up to this point and then, you know.
True.
I wonder if that may be all of it. I don't know.
True. Yeah. Good point.
And for me, I felt the Bad Wolf stuff was more subtle. You know, it wasn't just slap you in the face like the stuff in this season.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, sometimes the Bad Wolf reference would pass without you really even noticing it. Yeah.
All right. So, gentlemen, any other news items before we move on as Wynn Grace is calling it into the discussing time tunnel? All right. So, for anyone listening, if you are for everyone, not just anyone, for everyone listening, if you have not seen Hellbent, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
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 Spoilers. Spoilers.
All righty. The spoiler warning has gone out, and we are back to review Hellbent. This is the final episode of the 2015 series of Doctor Who, first airing on the 5th of December, 2015. It starred Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor, Jenna Coleman as Clara Oswald, and was directed by fan favorite director Rachel Talalay. Clarence Brown, I'll start with you. Summary view, what say you?
Wow, I'm going to have to go back and listen to episode number 4. I did not love this episode. There were some great moments. I feel like it was filled with some great moments. Getting to see a lot of Gallifrey, I think, was really nice. The way they bookended the episode with the diner, I think, was nice. You know, I love Jenna Coleman, so that's always nice. But there was a lot of meandering in the middle, in my opinion. I felt like some stuff just wasn't necessary. So we'll see. We'll see if you guys bring me up on this one.
I have judged this episode harshly over the years. I remember really being kind of upset by it. And I think RTD was too, because he makes a joke about it in The Giggle. And and it's the same joke. It's like, well, don't worry about Clara. She's perpetually frozen in the last instant of her life. Well, that's okay then. That's all right then. and I just remember being really irked by that, because I had thought that her sacrifice in Face the Raven was so touching and such a perfect way to close that character arc off. And here she is again. And that we had just done this with Rose not too very long before. Like, really? She's back. Okay. So that was a real problem. And I think I had trouble seeing past that. But if you're willing to accept that death seems to be never permanent on this show, then then this becomes a very interesting story about the Time Lords and the Sisterhood of Narn, you know, who I'm always up for. And And watching it again today, I was reminded the Doctor is not the Doctor in this episode. He has hung it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's practically the War Doctor. And in fact, that's how the people in Gallifrey remember him.
Yeah.
So this is another one of those times where he says, don't call me that, you know. You can't be the Doctor all the time, he says. And I think that's very interesting. It's part of what makes these two episodes, tongue and groove, that they work perfectly together, because we've seen what he's been through. So yeah, he's taken names.
Mm.
That's exciting.
As much as I like Missy, if I were to compare this with the previous seasons or previous series, the 2014 finale with Death in Heaven and, you know, the other paired, whichever the name, I can't remember the name of the title at the moment. But if I were to compare it, this two-parter, to that two-parter, I would take this two-parter any day. I feel like it is much stronger writing than the other finale. As much as I love Missy, I like the emotional beats. I like the things that happened with it. Did it feel like it meandered a little bit in the middle, Clarence? Yes, I agree with you. There were some things that I wish would have kind of picked up a little bit, but there are things at the beginning I like, some things in the middle I like, and I love the ending. So I will just go ahead and say I liked this episode. What I found interesting, we talk about book ending, and Clarence, I'm going to point this one to you because I know you are a Clara fan. You start the beginning with Clara in a diner, and you're wondering, where in the heck did this come from? Thoughts. Why and thoughts?
Yeah, at first I was thinking Clara from the past, somehow, maybe. But then, you know, as the episode goes on, we get a little more clarity on that. I think it was a great way to bookend this episode. I really think it was good. And it takes us back to places we've been before. We get the nod that it's a place that we've been before. And, you know, for some of the complaints I have about the slowness of the episode, I think these parts, these more heartfelt parts, these parts where the Doctor is he breaking the fourth wall by playing Clara's theme? I don't know. Let me know. but yeah, there's so much heart in these bits of the episode that I can't fault it. I'm sure there's issues, but I can't fault it. You have Clara, you have the Doctor. They're sharing heartfelt moments. I ate these portions of the episode up. Loved it.
Because we've seen a lot of different Claras in the series before, we have to, as an audience, we have to legitimately wonder, maybe this isn't Clara he's talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We know that he doesn't know who she is. Does she know who he is? And I think that's something in the writing that I think is really clever, and it keeps you engaged in that throughout. I'll ask both of you, did you recognize the diner? Because it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
You saw it. Yeah. You said, oh, yeah.
And I remember from 2015, and this is another reason why I love going back and reviewing episodes, because I had completely forgot something that you just mentioned, Lee, which is the speculation of, is this another Clara variant? Is this our Clara? Or variant. For one last time, is this going to be another impossible girl who is saving this Doctor, you know, is this, and she doesn't even know she's Clara. So that's really cool. And I can remember, I think, seeing some of the promo images for this episode and seeing that diner and speculating, ooh, Amy and Rory are coming back.
Yeah.
You know, so quite possible. So Lee, I want to take us to Gallifrey, and I want to know, what were your thoughts of first, the Doctor returning to the barn, then his interaction with soldiers, and ultimately Rassilon.
Yeah, I think the whole showdown with Rassilon is fabulous, and it's the episode name checks the Shabogans, which is something that has come up in the lore over the years, that not everybody on Gallifrey is a Time Lord. You have to be a Praedonian, and you know there's things that happen to you. So there's regular folks on Gallifrey. And it was interesting to sort of explore that a little more here. I love the whole soup eating scene, especially because since we've seen him fight with a spoon before, when the command comes, lay down your weapons, we get an immense shot of him putting his spoon down. Mm-hmm. It's nice. But yeah, back to the barn. I don't know what to make of that. And who is that woman? She recognizes him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it's one of those things that I feel like I could have done without, but I don't know. There it is.
Yeah. Clarence, what did you think?
I actually found myself liking the barn. it took me back to the Danny Pink episode where, I forgot the name of the episode, but it's the one where Clara goes back and whispers in his ear. Is it the same barn from Day of the Doctor, or is it a different barn?
I say it is. I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And earlier in the 12th Doctor's time, we've suggested that that's his. That's his.
Yeah, his house. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, right. that's what I thought. So when the lady walked in, is that his cousin or something? But he's highborn Gallifreyan. So why is he out there in the barn?
Right.
I don't know. I'm confused.
I needed more clarity about that.
Chris Chibnall just gave me an explanation of that. That is where they sent the forced regenerated doctor as a child, first doctor, away after the fugitive doctor had been forced regenerated back into a child.
Gotcha.
Wait, is that your headcanon or is that real?
That's the headcanon and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. I'll buy it.
But as far as Gallifrey itself, I felt like the world building was strong in this episode. I absolutely adored the Gallifreyan armor that they were wearing. I thought the curves on it were just kind of beautiful. The soldiers were wearing, I thought was really, really good. I found all of that interesting. I felt like some of the parts where, you know, they had the showdown with the doctor eating his soup, as we just mentioned, they only brought one ship, really? This guy is like, he's the guy who ended the war. You're going to bring one ship? Whatever. I found all that kind of hilarious, how they kept coming back and wrestling, steadily getting mad. But I did ask myself, and I might get slapped for this or kicked off of the podcast, but am I supposed to know who Rassilon is?
Yeah.
If their intended idea would have been able, and he would have been able to have been available, Timothy Dalton would have returned as Rassilon from the end of time when the time would return. But Lee, I think you were going back to the five doctors if you want to bring when we see Rassilon there.
Right.
Yeah. I think I do remember that.
And remember, we were making the joke at the time that since then we've had the tomb of Rassilon and the sash of Rassilon and the staff of Rassilon and the. He's like Batman. Now everything's got his name on it. He's supposed to be a founder of their community and a revered figure. But if you don't know that coming to this episode, I think you get, okay, he's apparently the big muckety-muck and everybody's supposed to do what he says. And today it's just not working. It's like there's somebody bigger than he is, and it's not official, but everybody recognizes it. And it's the Doctor. Wow.
So what do you guys think of the Doctor being able to come in and basically, for all intents and purposes, stage a coup?
He says, get off my planet.
Yes.
It's a coup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So war hero over president?
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, you know, the High Council is next to go, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's doing it. He's kicking them off. Mm. And if we're at the end of time, where are they going?
Exactly.
Into the void.
Yeah. All right. I want to bring in a comment from Janet, our friend Janet from Facebook. She says, the Doctor finally came into his own, and I enjoyed the tongue-in-cheek twinkle in Peter's eye. It's as if he knows we don't know and will want to figure it all out. Very cool.
I think that was in response to the, is that Clara? Does she know who he is? Does he know who she is?
Really? Yes.
Yeah. And it's right. It's a lot of that is in both of their performances. It's so, yeah, they're so good together.
So let me ask you guys this. You know, Lee, you brought this up a moment ago or touched on it. Moffat's tendency to take a Clara exit, a Bill exit, and
spoiler.
Well, yeah, well, she didn't go into season 11, so there you go. But, and then something may bring them back. So, what did you guys think of this concept of taking her out of time either?
Love her, love the performances, love everything that she gets to do in this episode. It just hurts me that we couldn't leave her alone. And it blunts the impact of her sacrifice. That's always my big problem with this. The tragic ending for Rose, that she's going to be separated from her doctor forever, but she gets a bonus doctor. We could have left that right there. That's, you know, it was just, and then you can speculate about, write your own fan fiction, but no, she's got to come back with a big gun. And I, anyway, so that's me. But what about you, Clarence? What are you?
I think there's something interesting about Claire and the doctor being, I don't know if they lay it out exactly in the episode. Are they the hybrid? Is the doctor the hybrid? They kind of give us a lot of different solutions to that.
They do.
So the reasoning for bringing her back is probably just because we have to play out this storyline. But to your point, Lee, Face the Raven was such an amazing ending to her character. Staring down death in the face with his number countdown on her neck. And yeah, it seems like all that was for naught. You know, it's just amazing way to end her character. And now she's gallivanting out in space with me. Okay. Will we see them again? I don't know.
You know, I'm right there with you. If I'm looking at it from, I like the ending of this. And I would have, if you were going to give them this ending, create something where Clara has to do something where she is forgotten or, you know, whatever the case is, so that they have the sad ending. You could have rewritten it that way and then still have an emotional ending. But I think it did, Clarence, as you were saying, cheapen that episode by bringing her back to have another tearful goodbye, because you've just said goodbye only an episode. There's only an episode between By Clara and By Clara, you know? And I remember, not with my haterade for Clara the last time, which I don't have it now, but the haterade I had, I was like, how many freaking exits are they going to give her?
Right.
You know? Cause I was just by that time, go ahead and be gone, which I totally appreciate Clara now. So time, you know, heals wounds and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this show called The Travelers that I've only seen a few episodes of, but they time travel back into a person at their right before their moment of death and take over their body and somehow heal them. I don't know how that works exactly, but it reminded me of that a lot.
That's interesting. Almost like a testimony from Twice Upon a Time. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Can I share two things from the chat?
You most certainly can.
We're asking where in the world are the Time Lords going if they're leaving Gallifrey at the end of time? And I don't know if there's anything else out there. Well, they say give or take a star system. And Wingrave says they go take a seat next to Sutek in the bleachers. I really like that. And of course, after the snap, says they spend an eternity watching Doctor Who.
Indeed.
That's Trial of a Time Lord.
We haven't done Trial of the Time Lord. We should do that at some point in the future.
Oh, that's right. Because I remember surprising Clara that we get multiple endings for Perry. So
yes.
one of which is too terrible to contemplate.
So. We should bring our friend Shannon Perry on. Yes. Since Perry
has strong feelings about Perry.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I'm hearing her, if she's listening to this, saying, no.
No. I don't think she cares much for that doctor either. So
no.
That'd be tough. Anyway.
All right. So let's go back really quick to the hybrid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of buildup. Was it a hybrid Dalek versus Time Lord? Was it a Meyer and, you know, human with me? Was it what? What did you guys think of it being a pairing of the doctor and a companion? Lee, I'll point that to you first. What did you think of it being that type of pairing?
Well, I'm still not sure that that's what
it was. That is. But that,
well, I mean, and that was, at one point the doctor says it doesn't matter, which that's great. But the prophecy was that the hybrid will be standing after Gallifrey is destroyed. That will be standing in the ashes. And that didn't happen in this story. So maybe the hybrid is yet to be. But we touched on the thing from the TV movie that maybe the doctor is a half Time Lord, half human.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is indeed the prophesied hybrid. You know, I'm not sure if we didn't just skirt the question somehow altogether. And if there's anything that feels like kind of a flim-flam in this episode, it's that. It's like, wait a minute, we came here to find out who the hybrid was. And then we just kind of don't, or do we, or did I just miss it, or did I don't? It seems like I shouldn't be able to miss it. It should be pretty emphatic.
So. I just had a thought, but Clarence, I want to hear what your thought is on the hybrid, because, okay. But I want to hear what you thought.
I agree. I kind of feel like this is something they should have seeded. I mean, maybe they did. I just didn't notice. But I wish they would have seeded this more throughout the entire course of the season, because it's like we get to the end. Now it's all of a sudden hybrid talk, and it's the most important thing we can do right now, you know? Yeah, in that sense, I feel like it was just kind of thrust on us at the end. But also, I do walk away from this. I mentioned it up top. Who's the hybrid exactly? I don't know. And then you have even me playing into that. Me, the character, not me. Saying that doctor thinking she was the hybrid. So it's a little very ambiguous at the end.
Yeah, he was sure it was her. Yeah.
So the hybrid is supposedly a combination of two warrior races who will stand over the ruins of Gallifrey, correct? Mm-hmm. I know who the hybrid is. Are you ready for this?
Oh, Lord. I don't think I am.
We had not seen the hybrid yet. A combination between two warrior races, spoilers for the Timeless Child, but he took it within him that Mysterium or whatever it was from the cyber mind or whatnot, and became a hybrid of that, and he destroyed Gallifrey. So maybe Chibnall answered the question for us, who's the hybrid? Yeah. By all accounts there, the master. I mean,
Janet Ballard Hall is in the comments is observing that the hybrid is just a dropped thread, and that just seems like lazy writing. So yeah, why not? Chibnall picked up the thread and said, "This got to connect to something. Let's do this."
Yeah. Wow, I've complimented Chibnall twice.
Yeah, my mind is blown, man. Like, what is going on here?
I know. Hey, my positivity that I have become infected with over the last series is retrograding into Chibnall era. So there you go.
Or something.
All right. So before I forget, go ahead, Claire.
Let me just say this real quick. And if the conceit or if the whole point was to, by the end, for the doctor to become the hybrid, I just go back to what Lisa, I think they did a poor job of explaining that to us. And we don't expect them to explain every single thing that clearly, but this one is kind of important, you know?
Very good point.
There is the line, somebody else in the chat pointed this out, that the doctor says, here's the line, it's okay, I went too far, I broke my own rules, I became the hybrid.
Yep, he did say that, yep.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. So let me ask you guys this. Is there another companion that you guys can think of that the Doctor, and not River, that we're going to think of here, because River is an exception to what I'm about to ask. But is there another companion that you would see the Doctor going, or has the Doctor gone to the same lengths that he went for Clara?
Fight for them for 4.5 billion years? No.
No. Good point.
I think the runner-up has got to be Rory.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not being, yeah. He stood guard for 2,000 years. But yeah, the Doctor has certainly, you know, said more than once, I don't care what the rules are. You know, you're not going to do this to my friend.
Yep. So good point.
That's always been true. So.
So Clarence, what did you think of the memory dial, the concept of someone's going to get their memory erased, and particularly Clara's decision to mess with the dial?
It made for a semi-exciting ending where you don't know exactly what's going to happen to who. I thought that was just well played, and part of the episode I thought was well written, where, you know, they don't know and we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I just loved it when you see the Doctor kind of stumble a little bit and you almost get this regeneration speech from him. Never be cruel. Never be cowardly. He's going into his whole spiel. So yeah, just for that moment. I wish we would have got a little bit of the regeneration energy. Yeah. But other than that, it was perfect. And Peter Capaldi saying these lines, never eat pears. Great. Yeah, great.
That's very important. Look, I thought it interesting, and this really hit me hard watching it again today, that many people have talked about the kind of ickiness of the Doctor being forced to erase Donna's memory of him, because he has tremendous power and he uses it on her without her consent, against her will. And it's just, we know this is not the intent of the script or in the performance, but it's a little rapey. You know, people have this problem with Spock and what's her name, Valerian, in the Star Trek VI, too. It's the same kind of thing. It's like, whoa, Spock shouldn't be doing that, yuck. So the moment comes up again. He says, no, there's no problem. I'm just going to erase her memory, whether she likes it or not. And he is the one who backs down on it and says, what am I thinking? I can't do that. So it's great to have it in canon that the Doctor's repented of that. He remembers doing it the last time. He's not going to do it again. And of course, for classic fans, there's a shout out too about what she did to the neural block. She's
reversed the polarity.
So that's nice.
And literally of the neutron, the neural.
Oh, that's true. It is the neural block. Yeah. Reverse the polarity of the neural block. Anyway, John Pertwee is smiling somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to the end. And the idea of the song on the guitar. What did you guys think of the final talk between Clara and the Doctor? And Clarence, I have to give it to you because Clara is one of your favorite thoughts.
Well, I think the big thing is the fact that she knows who he is and he does not. We find out, you know, over the course of this, we keep jumping back to this through the course of the episode, we found out that he does not know who she is. Very sad. Very sad that after everything they've been through all these years, that she doesn't even, you know who this guy is. So, yeah, I thought it was very touching. I did find, well, we'll get to the very end, but I found like what happened immediately after kind of disturbing.
Okay, but, go ahead. Immediately.
But let me just say this. Cool when he gets back out to his TARDIS and he sees the picture of her, you know, flashback to Rigsby looking outside and seeing the TARDIS with the flowers and the picture of Clara on it. We get that here. And, you know, I assume he gets the realization that he was just talking to Clara. Maybe not. Who knows? But yeah, I thought it was if we had to choose a second ending, I prefer the first one. But, you know. Fast forward here, and I still felt like it was touching enough. But, you know, I kind of
wish we didn't have to do it again, you know?
All right. Lee, what about you? What did you think of that conversation at the end?
Well, I was just about to ask the two of you, if you think that when he sees the Rigsy portrait, if he puts two and two together and realizes he's just been talking to Clara. But I don't think he would remember that she, well, he doesn't know that she has a TARDIS now, does she?
No.
Well,
Well, it disappears around him. It materializes. So,
he's seen that if he's seen that before, but yeah, she and Ishildur have a Mark One.
So I'm wondering, my headcanon says, well, for starters, I keep forgetting that he remembers Clara, but doesn't know what she looks like or who she is. He knows all the adventures. I keep forgetting that. Right. I just think that he forgets Clara in her entirety. So I'm wondering,
and everything that happened with her.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm wondering if what he is experiencing is some type of a la chameleon circuit. In other words, it blanks out. It's sort of like he can't see her. Mm-hmm. So even though he sees that photo, he doesn't recognize that that photo is the person he was just talking to. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of, it's just like a
perception filter.
Perception filter or a hypnotic suggestion that you don't know this person. You can't see this person kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it otherwise, you know, I'm kind of like with you, Clarence, I would expect him to walk right out and say, oh, well, I see her. But even in the conversation, she says to him, have you found your TARDIS yet? Well, how does she know what a TARDIS is?
I was thinking
He's been telling her the story about the Time Lords. And
everything. Oh, that's true, too.
I think that's how I read that. Anyway.
Okay, good point there.
She's got that from the story. Mm. But it is kind of dodgy, isn't it? Because he told us he remembers the Ice Warriors, for example, and he remembers the Mummy and the Orient Express, but he doesn't quite remember her. So it's made his memories kind of fuzzy about his time with her, clearly.
And he remembers her and he talking in the cloisters, but he doesn't remember what they said. And then she turns right around and tells him what they said.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Well, let me say this real quick. What I can remember when this aired or shortly thereafter, I was watching it with my parents, and my father is a very casual sci-fi person. Like I can remember took me to Star Wars whenever I was, you know, 3 or 4 years old, way back in the '70s, blah, 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 blah. So I remember at this scene, him having to get up and excuse himself from the room because I knew he had gotten a little teary-eyed. Mm. So I always think of this as being very well written because my father is coming to this not as a diehard Doctor Who fan, is just watching the story for the pure sake of the story. And got a little emotional with the goodbye scene between he and this, you know, when she kind of, you know, has to turn away because she got a little teary-eyed when she realized he has no idea who you are. You know, so for that, seeing someone who is not a diehard like we are be affected by that, I was like, good writing, you know, kudos to that.
And just colossal performances. Yes.
All right. So on to our favorites. So Clarence, favorite scene, what say ye?
I think I like the scene where the doctor goes out, puts down his spoon, puts down his weapon, goes and draws the line with the big spaceship in front of him and, you know, just goes back and says, I think he's finishing his soup. it's just a fun scene. Those course of scenes were really fun where they're kind of trying to see what's going on with the doctor.
All right. Lee. Favorite scene?
Well, I didn't want us to fly away too fast without talking about O'Hela because,
I love the
sisterhood and it was great to see her again from Night of the Doctor. And that's her. And that is the character name of the successor that we see at the end of Brain of Morbius. So presumably that's her 5 billion years later. And that's cool. And she just gets some great lines, like Clarence says, like, what is he doing?
And I think soup. For this season as well, he was also, one of the seasons, she also appeared in a YouTube video, a little short minisode.
That's right.
The Contemplation of the Doctor, I think, yes. was the name of it.
Yeah, that's Claire Higgins, who I've been told as a voice, she's one of the people you get if you can't get Judi Dench.
Mm.
Because people may not, you know, she's an almost sound alike. And she just had that remarkable, remarkable voice. So it's all used to good effect here. But yeah, they only get a brief conversation together, but that was still my favorite scene, is Ohila talking to the Doctor, sort of about the scale of what's going on here. And, you know, it's I just love that character and the whole idea of them as people who are also immortal, but are the Time Lords consider them a nuisance.
Yes.
I just think it's just brilliant. So,
all right. So my final scene or favorite scene was the final scene that we've just been talking about with the Doctor and Clara. It's the one that I kind of watched over and over and over and over again without watching the entire episode. So that is my favorite scene. So favorite quote, Lee, I'm going to start with you. Favorite quote.
The Doctor's explanation to Clara of how the Matrix works. The Time Lords have a big computer made of ghosts in a crypt guarded by more ghosts. There. He's given her the technical explanation. And she says, was I supposed to understand any of that? Said, okay. The Time Lords have got a big computer made of ghosts in a crypt guarded by more ghosts. And she says, it didn't hurt, did it?
All right.
Admittedly, that part of the episode lost me. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. All right. Yeah, let's go with it. Yeah. Well, fiber optic cables. Yeah.
That really does jibe with the explanation in Deadly Assassin, which I don't think I've ever really followed either. So, okay. It's a computer made of ghosts. Let's move on.
All right. So, Clarence, favorite quote.
Mine is going to be when the Doctor realizes that Clara did, in fact, successfully reverse the polarity, and he gives this little doctor speech, and he says, run like hell. Run like hell because you always need to. Laugh at everything because it's always funny. Never stop. Never be cruel and never be cowardly. And if you are, always make amends. Man, Capaldi with those life lessons at the end, man, he's batting 1,000.
Yeah. I can't agree with him about Paris, but the rest of it, yeah.
Oh, so for me, and I'm going to give this a runner-up because the simple fact of, and you know, Clarence, I love being corny, but the comment that either the Doctor makes to me or me, and I think it's me, makes to the Doctor when she says, summer can't last forever. And we know that she's Arya from Game of Thrones, where winter is coming. I just thought that that was like very on the nose and kind of corny. Nice. And I was like, I was there for it. So that was cool.
I did not think of that as a inside baseball, but
so
I bet you're right. Oh, well, it's a little like when Clara in the diner asks, we're pretending like they don't know each other. And she's asking him if he's been traveling. And he says, from time to time.
Yeah. So my favorite quote is, when something goes missing, you can always recreate it by the hole it left. I know her name was Clara. I know we traveled together. I know that there was an ice warrior on a submarine and a mummy on the Orient Express. I know we sat together in the cloisters and she told me something very important, but I have no idea what she said or what she looked like. Or how she talked or laughed. There's nothing there, just nothing. I just thought that was beautiful. Yeah. That very beautifully done. Very, very cool. All right, final rating, Clarence Brown.
Can I give a few honorable mentions really
you
quick?
You most certainly may, please.
I love that Clara asks the Doctor, where is his home? She says Glasgow. He says Space Glasgow. Am I saying all right? Glasgow? Am I saying all right?
Glasgow.
Yeah, there we go. And also, I loved how the head of security for the Gallifreyan president turned into a Dora Milaje at the end.
I thought that was hilarious.
And the first on scene male to female regeneration.
Mm. Was it? Didn't it happen?
Well, that we saw.
Okay. We knew about it when Timothy Dalton was wrestling. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
And
this one was on camera. Yeah.
Mm. And lastly, my final little tidbit from the episode is exterminate
me.
Me.
Okay. Just because that's a nightmare world inside the Matrix, did either of you think even for a second that that was Soufflé Girl?
No, I didn't. But wow. Headcanon. Wow.
And
wow.
If you're going to think that way, maybe that Cyberman that grabbed at her was Danny Pink.
See, now you blow my mind.
I'm
going to pay more attention to those scenes.
Just saying.
That makes me feel bad.
Yeah, but see, if they should have made...
Both of those are nightmares. That's...
But if they would have made a little bit more of a nod to that, I think that would have added so many more layers. If they would have just somehow let you, even if they would have had him holding that piece of paper that we knew that, you know, there was something whenever he first became the Cyberman that he was holding his death certificate or something, you know, that would have been cool. All right. Really, really quick before we move into the ratings. Mm. One thing I do want to say, you know, we've made in 2024 references about using music in the episode. Well, this is a perfect example of the episode and the music sphere kind of tying together. Clara's song is the song that he's playing on, you know, her theme is the theme that he's playing on the guitar, same as Ruby playing her own theme on the piano.
Right.
So yeah, I thought that was really cool.
And she even asked him what he's playing, and then he says, Clara.
Yeah.
I was like, what? He's just calling out the name of the song
right in front. Mm-hmm. It's composed by Murray Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may not have heard of him. But he's-
and really, really quick, while we're comparing to 2024, I saw, I was watching Deep Breath again one day over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, obviously. And at the end, right when the robot falls out of the thing that they're flying in, the doctor looks and makes eye contact with the camera, breaking the fourth wall. So again, we just kind of forget these things happen, but they're not new to Doctor Who is my whole point. And something that is not new, I don't think it was even existing in episode 4, tying it back in, because I don't think we had even done this yet. We didn't have a concept yet of a final rating. So final rating, Clarence Brown, what say ye?
I'm going to give this 3.6 Gallifreyan presidents sent out into the wasteless void out of 5.
3.6. All right. Lee Shackelford, what say you?
I'm going to go up to 4. 4 neural blocks.
I'm going to give this 5 Clara Oswalds out of 5 because I really like the end. And I can't believe that I just said 5 Clara Oswalds out of 5. Yeah. But Clarence Brown, I'm doing that for you, my friend. 5 Clara Oswalds and no corny jokes from Kyle out of 5.
0.
Well, that's all right then.
And that's all right then. Because Janet Hall gives 3.5 spoons.
Yes.
There you go.
Deadly weapons.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. So, gentlemen, I want to ask anything that you guys are watching or anything you would like to share before we wrap, because it's been a while. So I want to ask that question. Clarence, I'll start with you.
I guess I'll just say this. A show that I'm watching, and I really hate watching, I guess, but I am continuing to watch it, and I guess I don't like it. The show is called Arc, and we've talked about this before, that kind of the beginning of it is kind of spins off some stuff that we know is in Relativity. I'm like, why not just give my man Lee Shackelford the budget and let him go create a masterpiece? Because this show is just terrible. But anyway, I digress. So don't go watch Arc, but go listen to Relativity.
Yes, at relativitypodcast.com.
Yes. It's less expensive and less time consuming.
All right. Lee Shackelford, what are you watching or anything you would like to share before we leave?
I've been in the middle of several giant projects, including moving to a new house. And if you're watching us on video, I have a green screen up, which I almost never do, but it's because my office is a total disaster. But it's the first Doctor's TARDIS, so, you know, it seemed like that was appropriate. It's apparently what they look like when they come out of storage. Yeah, but, you know, we were talking about Shannon earlier, and I guess I should mention that I got to spend a couple of days with Shannon because we were in Seattle, Washington, and she put me and my lovely wife up for a while. So we got to talk about relativity and Oz9 and discussing Who, and she pointed out that she has merch from both of those other shows, and she's wondering,